Thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for participating so wonderfully in the songs, for putting yourself into the worship, for this is what God would have us to do. It feels good when someone says thank you for a service performed, doesn't it? It is quite satisfying when we're told, well done. And everyone has done something for the good of doing it. And no doubt we have found ourselves somewhat let down when no one notices. Doesn't it hurt when gratitude is not expressed, even when it should be? Sure it does. Well, we're not the only ones who have experienced this. Our text this morning is Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Here we find the Lord offering to someone something to benefit them. And we see ingratitude as a result. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Where are the 9? All 10 were cleansed. All 10 received what they desired, what they'd cried out to God for, what they'd cried out to the Lord for, said, have mercy on me. But the actions of the 9 showed that they were not truly thankful, but exhibited ingratitude. Ingratitude can be seen in the attitudes and action of many people with whom we come into contact daily. Many children fail to be thankful for the blessings provided for them by their parents. I probably fell into that category as a child, not thinking that the things that my parents provided were all that good. Becoming an adult and having a child, I realized that many of the things that were provided were for my benefit and should have been more thankful. Parents often fail to show gratitude for their children and the good things that they accomplish. Sometimes we've got our mind on something else, bills to pay, things to fix, whatever the case may be. The child comes in very proud of an accomplishment, and you pat him on the head, that's okay, Junior. Glad to hear it. The child hears in your voice that you're not truly thankful. Many husbands and wives do not show proper appreciation for each other. Kind of reminds me of the old man that was asked, did he tell his wife that he loved her? He said, well, I told her right after we got married, and I told her if I ever changed my mind, I'd tell her differently. We need to express gratitude to our spouses. Show our appreciation for each other. Employers and employees are often not thankful enough. In many cases, they don't express their gratitude. They fail to manifest the proper attitude towards one another. And it's all because of being unthankful. There is so much for which we should express our gratitude and for which we should show our gratitude. Perhaps right now you can't think of anything. You know, life is rough. Things are tough. There's a lot that's wrong. Yes, there are. There are a lot of things that are wrong. But there are many things for which we can be thankful. Here are a few. Be thankful when you find out you don't know something. Well, this gives you an opportunity to learn. Be thankful for the difficult times, for this is the time in which you grow. Be thankful for your limitations because they give you opportunities for improvement, that you might branch out, that you might become more than you are today. Be thankful for each challenge because it will build your strength. It will build your character. It will make you a better person for tomorrow. Be thankful for your mistakes. It teaches you valuable lessons. I recall I made a serious mistake that would cost the company some money. Went to my boss, hat in my hand, so to speak, kind of stubbing my toe on the ground. Said, I got to tell you what it did. I got to tell you it's going to cost us. I told him what it did. I waited for the tongue lashing. He looked at me and he says, bet you don't make that mistake again. Friends, I was thankful at the moment, not because I made a mistake, but because I didn't get chewed out. But I learned from that mistake. So I should have been grateful for it. It's easy to be thankful for the good things. A lot of times people express their gratitude when things are going perfectly. Things are going swimmingly. But let things turn down just a little bit. Woe is me. A life of rich fulfillment comes to those who are also thankful for the setbacks. Stop and think about it. Gratitude can turn a negative into a positive. We need to find a way to be thankful for our troubles, and they do contain blessings. As Christians, we may not be thankful enough for each other. I am very thankful that you are here today. Truth of the matter is, if nobody else was here, I wouldn't have anybody to preach to. But always someone's here. I'm thankful. We may not be as appreciative as we should be for the blessing God provides us out of His grace, out of His goodness, and out of His love. You know, it's a tendency of man to always see the downside of things. If we look just a little harder, we can see the upside. The truth of the matter is that we see the clouds. But we have a hard time seeing the silver lining. God has provided us everything. He's extended to us His grace. He's extended to us His goodness. He's extended to us His love. And sometimes we just can't see it. You know what? We may be guilty of ingratitude. In our text, we see ingratitude illustrated. Jesus entered this certain village, and there were 10 who met him. Notice that they stood afar off. Now, this was how they were supposed to act. In fact, when you approached a leper, they were to put their hand over their mouth, and they were to cry out, unclean, unclean. And therefore, from a distance, they cried out, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Specifically, they said us, with one voice, crying out. He then had mercy. They were shown mercy. They were cleansed of their leprosy. Now he had told them, go and show yourselves to the priest. Why, that's simple enough. Matter of fact, if you stop and think about it, that was part of the law. After a certain period of time, they were to go show themselves to the priest. And if there was a certain sign that was to show up in their skin, the priest would pronounce them clean. They were no longer able to infect the others with leprosy. If not, they were to go outside of the camp and remain that way until such time as their leprosy was departed. But as Jesus said to them, go show yourself to the priest. As they made toward where the priest was, they realized they were cleansed. One was grateful. One was grateful enough to come back, return, and thank the Lord for His blessings. Well, no doubt that the others were thankful. They were thankful they could get on with their lives. They could go make some money. They could go back to their homes, their families, that sort of thing. But they were not grateful enough to express it. One. And notice, if you will, the one who came. It was not one of the Israelites. It was a Samaritan. I wonder what the percentage is of the people today who are ungrateful to God for their blessings. You know, everybody participates in the blessings of God. We have an absolute gorgeous day today. Some folks think it's a little chilly. Some folks think it's a little warm, maybe. Some folks think that it's just right. But it's a beautiful day. a few puffballs of clouds in the sky. Not too hot, not too cold. What did Baby Bear say? Just right. We need to be grateful for all of the blessings of life. Christians should have the spirit of gratitude. We should have the spirit of gratitude. The spirit of gratitude is the spirit of thankfulness. And the Bible is full of passages that tell us ingratitude denotes unthankfulness. One who is not thankful is ungrateful. One who is not thankful is one who does not have thanksgiving in their heart. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, we find that ingratitude is that which characterizes the wicked. We don't want to be like the wicked, do we? I don't. Therefore, we should not be unthankful. It says this, know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. A long list, but look, we're right in the middle of it, unthankful. Notice verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. We're not to be involved with those who are unthankful because they are wicked. The Gentiles, we'll see in Romans chapter 1, verse 18 beginning, as a whole were guilty of ingratitude. Well, now the Jews didn't help because the Jews held them up as the special people of God. I am a child of God. I'm an Israelite. Even after the law was established, the new law, in which the old law was abolished, the Jews held to that. But in act and in fact, many of the Gentiles were guilty of ingratitude. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Many today are as the Gentiles of which this is being written. They profess to be wise, but are fools. Why? Because they refuse to be thankful to God for the blessings that he has given. We'll talk toward the end of the sermon this morning about a particular blessing that he has given us, an opportunity that he has given us. Christians should be grateful to God. We should be grateful to God because he is the creator. Stop and think about it. In him we live, we move, we have our being. Were God not to have created this sphere in which we live, provided it with the proper atmosphere and all of the good things that would sustain life, we would not exist. In Acts chapter 17, verses 22 through 28, we find Paul at Mars Hill. So that you might understand what is going on, he'd seen an inscription on one of the altars. They had altars to every deity that they could imagine. And just so that they didn't leave anybody out, they had one to the unknown God. Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill, Acts chapter 17, in verse 22. And said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Neither is worship with man's hands as though he needed anything. Seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. and hath made of one blood all nations of all men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though that he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. You stop and think about it. If you look at the lineage of Christ all the way back to God, I think it's Luke's account who says, who was the son of Adam, who is the son of God. Stop and think about it. Adam was the created son of God. Therefore, everybody that came from Adam is the offspring of God. We should be grateful. He created us and gave us life. Job, in Job 33:4, amidst all of his misery, the torture that he endured, having lost his children, having lost his livelihood, having lost everything, made this proclamation. The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. Oh, we have a great deal to be thankful for. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20, the church there is instructed to be thankful always for all things. But what about the bad things? Well, I think we just covered a list of those, didn't we? The things that we usually aren't thankful for. It says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Ephesian brethren were instructed to do so. Why not us? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, we see the same thing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. He expects, desires, and wants his children to be grateful, not to suffer from ingratitude. Christians should be grateful to God because he's the giver of every good and perfect gift, according to James 1:17. It says there, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variables, neither shadow of turning. God is not going to change. He has begun to pour out upon mankind his blessings from the beginning. He will do so until the trumpet sounds. And those who are wise enough and grateful enough to embrace those things, to give God the glory for these things, and to do the things that God said, will participate for eternity in receiving the blessings of God. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, we see that he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Now, of course, these things are in Christ. We must be in Christ so that we can have these spiritual blessings. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And someone would say, well, wait a minute. Doesn't the Bible say that it rains on the just and the unjust? It does. And everybody is able to participate of those blessings. But notice, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, all spiritual blessings. The rain that comes and the benefit that comes from it is physical. Out of love, God sent his Son. Many passages depict this for us. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9 tells us this. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Again, we must be in Christ. And so, because Christ came, because God sent his love, because he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, and because we are obedient, he made us fit to be citizens in his kingdom. We need to be grateful for this. According to Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, we are to give thanks for this very thing. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Friends, there you have it. We can be citizens in his kingdom. We can participate in all the spiritual blessings that he has to offer for us. But in order to do so, we must be in Christ. Why? Because he has reserved an inheritance for those who are in Christ and remain faithful in Christ in heaven. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, We are told this. This is a general epistle, not written to a specific entity, but written and directed by the Spirit nonetheless. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." It's there. Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." But people are not thankful. People suffer from ingratitude. Some years ago, my father-in-law wrote a poem. He wrote many. This particular one was sent to a young preacher who was contemplating leaving the ministry. The reason that he was contemplating leaving the ministry and going back into secular work was because of the ingratitude of folks. Because of the opposition from every side. Sometimes, as a preacher, you have a thankless job. You tell people things they don't want to hear. You tell people, you do so with all the love that's in your heart, that they're lost. You do so because you love them. You do so because you care. You do so because God's word explains explicitly that we are to go to teach and to baptize, and then to teach. But this particular poem was written to this man because he was thinking about leaving the ministry. I'm not a poet, nor the son of a poet. So I might not do this justice, but listen to the words. "Dear Brother D, it's early morning, my dear brother, but I just had to write. Since I received the message that you're giving up the fight, you've been a faithful soldier and have always done your part. No doubt the scars of many battles decorate your heart. You see, you mean a lot to me in one way or another. And in my book, you're 10 feet tall." My favorite big brother. Excuse me. "No doubt you're disappointed and your heart breaks right in two to learn that those you thought were real have proven so untrue. This weakness found in mortal men, discounted more or less, reveals the hidden reason why we can't count on the flesh. The sacrifices you have made, the sleepless nights and such, well, ingratitude is another sin that simply costs too much. But what you've done, you did for him who died upon the cross. And if you think you're a loser, estimate his loss. Although they nailed him to a tree there on Mount Calvary's hill, he never hesitated once to do his Father's will. Now there's wealth and power and worldly fame in what you contemplate. But why exchange a soul for these and meet an awful fate? Rekindle that old gospel flame and never let it die. Proclaim with renewed fervency that message from on high. God give you life, and hope and faith shall be my earnest prayer. I'll close for now. In Jesus' name. And see you over there." I'm sorry if I get emotional upon reading a passage or a poem such as this. One, because it came from a father-in-law. Two, because it's so true. Each of us should be able to show our gratitude to our brothers and sisters as they pray for us, as they encourage us, as they help us learn and comfort us in times of difficulty. Every one of us should express daily our gratitude and our appreciation to God for who He is and what He has done for us. Every one of us should endeavor daily to be thankful to God for the many blessings which we receive. every Christian should be grateful enough to God to take His word to others and help them understand what they need to do to go to heaven. The lost should be grateful that God cared enough to provide a way of escape from the fires of hell. What is God's plan for salvation? I submit to you this morning that we should be thankful for it. It's the same plan that was pronounced on the day of Pentecost. It's the same plan that was preached by the eunuch, or by Philip to the eunuch. It's the same plan that has been preached down through the ages, and it will not change. What is that plan? That plan is that one must hear the word of God, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. One must also believe. It's not just enough to hear the word of God. Mark 16:16 says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned." Now, it doesn't specifically say so there, but if one doesn't believe, then they won't be baptized. If they're not baptized, it will be because they didn't believe. And according to Mark 16:16, they'll be damned. Acts 2:38 tells us that we must repent. Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." According to Romans 10:9, we must confess that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And of course, we are to be baptized. 1 Peter 3:21. Tells us the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and then we are to live faithfully until death. 2 Peter 2:20-21 puts it about as well as it can be put. "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, and after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them." Today you may be here, having not put on Christ in baptism. If that's the case, you're not in Christ. If you're not in Christ, you cannot enjoy the spiritual blessings. And as much as it hurts me to tell you this, if you are not in Christ and you cannot enjoy the spiritual blessings which are in Christ, you also cannot participate of the eternal blessings that will be for His faithful children. How do you remedy this? Well, it's not just enough to be thankful. You should be thankful that you hear the gospel plan of salvation. But then you must do something about it. You've heard. Do you believe? Are you willing to repent and confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Are you willing to be baptized? You can become a new creature today by doing these things. Also, as I have already mentioned, we must remain faithful unto death. Perhaps also there are those who are Christians here today who have heard, believed, repented, confessed, and been baptized, and that's what made them a Christian. That's what put them in Christ. That's what gave them access to all the spiritual blessings, but have not remained faithful. So sad. You should be thankful. God has not excluded you. But yet there's something you must do. You must repent and pray. Acts 8:22 tells us this. "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." I'm thankful this morning that I was able to get through this sermon. I hope that you're thankful that you received it. If you need to respond this morning, I want you to do so as together we stand and sing all three verses of hymn number 21.